There's an attack coming from far away.
Not coming, Bruce. It's already here. The others. Where are they?
Arthur Curry. The Aquaman. It's on him.
Organic and biomechatronic body parts. He's a cyborg.
You should probably move.
Barry Allen.
Whoever you're looking for, it's not me. You're the Batman.
They said the Age of Heroes would never come again.
It has to.
What are your superpowers again?
I'm rich.
One thing I can tell you is you got to be free.
My turn.
Come together. Right now. Come together. Right now.
Shall we?
It's good to see you playing well with others again.
Just like a bat. I dig it.
Maybe temporary.
Yeah!
Well, good morning, LifePoint. We're good to go? Yep, good morning, LifePoint. Hey, I always want to start off by welcoming back our members and regular attenders. And the one thing, just standing here this morning, I got to look out and notice just how full our auditorium is. We've got people sitting in the back in chairs. This is just a beautiful picture of what God is doing in the life of the church, and it's just something to celebrate. So if you're here today and it's a little cramped, know that we don't necessarily like that, but we do absolutely love that, right? There's just a great side to it. So if for those of you who haven't been able to meet yet, my name's Brian. I serve as one of the pastors for LifePoint. So if you're new to LifePoint, even if it's your first time being here, I want to make sure we say welcome to you, and we're so thankful that you guys have joined us. And I know what you're thinking, right? Like, what kind of a church is this, right? You give out popcorn and candy, and then you're watching movies trailers, and some of you are like, yes, right, I finally found the church for me, right? Well, once a year, we do this series that we call Now Playing, where we kind of look at faith through the lens of film. So every week, we're going to take a movie and see how it kind of interacts really with the gospel. Sometimes we see that the greatest stories point to the greatest stories, but then other times, we may see that it kind of contradicts the gospel. But I think either way, you and I probably would agree that every movie has a message, and we want to see how that message matches up really with the gospel message. So this week we're on Justice League, right? And this is the last week of our series, and I want to give you some insight on how this kind of came about, right? So originally, when we were talking about the teaching schedule for this series, I was going to do Ferdinand, which was a couple weeks ago, right? But Kel had something that came up in his schedule, so he texted me. I got a text from him just a couple weeks ago, and it said, hey, you know, if you could teach on the 4th, that would be really awesome, right? I won't get back until midnight the night before, which would have been last night. And he said, I'll take Ferdinand, and then you can take Justice League. And I'm like, cool, right? Because that would probably be tough, right, to get back the night before and then get up the next morning and go and teach the message. But then right after that, the very next text I got was this. He said, don't mess it up. He said, we got a bunch of DC comic nerds, so, and they're counting on you, myself included. And I'm not too sure how to take that, right? I don't know if he's saying I'm old again, right? Are we going there again? Or I'm not too sure how to take that, right? But anyway, Justice League is like most superhero movies, right? Got a base plot line of good against evil or light against darkness. And then the world always needs to be saved, right? Over and over again from certain destruction, right? There's always a good guy figure and a bad guy figure. Or in this movie, like Marvel Avengers, it brings together this team of good guys to battle or defeat the enemy. And the enemy character in Justice League is called Steppenwolf. And he's trying to find these three kind of magic boxes, get them together. They call them mother boxes that'll give him the power to transform the planet. So these hero figures are coming together, right, to kind of stop this impending invasion. But I think when you watch the film, you just see that there's just a main emphasis really on this team of heroes, these hero figures, and really their power, the abilities, right, their source of strength. It seemed like since this was the first film for DC in bringing together this team of heroes, they wanted to overemphasize who these hero figures were, right? What power did they have and what was kind of their source of strength? I mean, think about it, right? You got Aquaman, right? He's the prince of Atlantis. He's super strong. He can breathe underwater and he uses a spear, right? And it's not the trident, by the way, because it's got five spears. But Kel already knew that, right? Next, you have Wonder Woman, right? She's super fast. She's super strong. She's got a sword and she uses these indestructible bracelets. And then you've got the Flash. He's super fast because of a lightning strike. You've got Cyborg, who was crippled in an accident, and his father kind of rebuilt him using one of those mother boxes and these alien cybernetics. And then you have Batman, whose superpowers are, well, he's rich, right? And then you have Superman come back. And that can't be a spoiler at this point, right? Because Henry Cavill's name is on the poster with the list of characters, so you know he's coming back, right? So you see Superman again, and he's kind of like this Jesus figure, right? But he takes his strength right from the sun's radiation. So the emphasis, kind of the main thread throughout the movie, is on these heroes and the powers that they have or the strength that they have. And then you watch these movies, right? And you get all amped up, right? You get all jazzed up, and then this is what happens later on that night in your house. Right? But that's why we watch these movies, right? That's why they're so exciting. I mean, think about it, right? If these heroes didn't have this power or these abilities, right, they would get crushed, right? The movie would be super short and the enemy would win every time. It would be impossible to have victory without those powers or without that strength. In a lot of ways, it's the same with you and I. Throughout this film, we see these characters and we see, you know, their powers and really the source of their strength. And what I want us to see today is really the source of our strength and the power that's available to you and I through the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit. So just like the film, right, we said those characters, without that power, without that strength, it would be like they would get crushed, right? It would be impossible to have victory. Well, the Christian life is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no victory, right? Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no gospel, there would be no scripture, there would be no faith, there would be no church, there would be no Christianity. So the Christian life would be impossible. And the opportunity, I think, for a lot of us today is that we may not have a full understanding of what it means to be, or even how to be, filled with the Spirit, and maybe some of us don't always pursue the power of the Holy Spirit that's available to you in your life. It reminds me of a story that I read in an article not too long ago about this poor old Scottish woman, right? So this poor old Scottish woman, she lived in the most impoverished conditions. And a few years earlier, her son had immigrated to the United States, and he became this wealthy, successful businessman. So this poor old Scottish woman had a visitor one day. The visitor came in, was talking to her in her sparsely furnished cottage, and just asked her, said, "Hey, does your son ever send you, you know, money for your needs?" And the poor old Scottish woman, she just hung her head sadly and said, "No. But he does write me letters, and he sends me the most interesting pictures." So the visitor, she just got annoyed because she knows that the son is really wealthy, right? But instead of pressing that, she just asked the woman, "Can I see one of those interesting pictures?" So the Scottish woman got up and walked over to her drawer and proudly pulled out one of those pictures and gave it to the visitor. And the visitor was amazed because it wasn't even a picture. It was actual banknotes from the United States worth tens of thousands of dollars. This poor old Scottish woman had been living needlessly in poverty, when all along she had this money, but didn't know it. She didn't understand the value of those interesting pictures that were available to her all along. And I think for some of us, we may go through this life and not really understand just the riches through the Spirit that are available to you and I. So what I hope today is that as we move through our message, we're going to build out our prayer to God for a Spirit-filled life. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. If you guys want to turn there with me, we're going to start in verse 18. I just want to kind of pull out really a couple things, right? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? And then really, how does that happen? So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 18, and it reads like this. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes on in verse 19. He said, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So let's just start in verse 18, right? Let's just stay in verse 18 for a while. Well, Paul writes about you and I to be filled with the Spirit. So what does it mean to be filled? We believe and we read in Scripture that when you put your faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus, right, that Jesus was God in the flesh, that he died on the cross for your sins, that your sins are forgiven, and that you receive the Holy Spirit, right? Paul wrote earlier in Ephesians in chapter 1, he said, in him, Christ, you also, goes to you, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, that you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until you acquire possession of it, right? So what we read is that when you put your faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus, right, that you receive the Holy Spirit, that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And he writes about that in several other places. In 1 Corinthians 12, he writes that in one spirit we were baptized into one body. So Paul writes about baptism with the Holy Spirit means that we're baptized into unity with Christ, but also unity with the body of Christ or the church. And in Romans, you see that he writes, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So I think what we read from this is that even though all of us as Christians have equally received the Holy Spirit, we are not all equally filled with the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean? What does it mean to be filled? That's where we're going to kind of camp out for a few minutes. In verse 18, be filled, we translate that from a Greek term, pleroo. Pleroo is the term. And I want to look at it a few different ways to kind of gain a full understanding of what it means to be filled. Kind of the one way I'll start out to understand what it means to be filled is this concept or this idea of carrying or moving, kind of by pressure or by force. It reminds me of a few years ago, I went whitewater rafting. How many in here has ever been whitewater rafting? Oh, yeah, right? It's a great time, right? We went to the Gauley River in West Virginia. So when I went beforehand, a few days, it just wasn't raining. So the water level was so low that they weren't going to run any trips on it. But while I was there, it rained for 48 hours straight. So if I remember right, the water was just perfect, right? It was moving at 2,800 CFS or cubic feet per second, right? So when it was our scheduled time, we got on the boat, we got a raft guy behind us, so we set out. And right at the beginning is some class 4 stuff, and then you move into some class 5 stuff. And I remember there was one drop off to the right and one specific rapid off to the right. And the guide, he said, do you guys want to take that drop? Do you want to hit that rapid? I'm like, what kind of a question is that, right? Go big or go home, right? So we went over, we dropped in, hit the rapid, and then all of a sudden the boat went straight up in the air and capsized. So then threw all of us out, right? So here I am flying down this river just trying to make it over to the side before I die, right? But no matter what I was going to do, right, I couldn't do anything about it. I was going to be moved down that river. The water, the force and the pressure of the water was going to move me down that river. And it's kind of like that. Right, the Holy Spirit would carry you or move you down the path that God has for you. Right, that you wouldn't be carried or moved by your own desires, by your own strength, by your own motivation, but by the force or the pressure, really, of the Holy Spirit. Another way to kind of look at this, another meaning for that is to permeate, to pervade, or really to spread throughout. Whenever we have people over at our house for just to entertain, just visitors, right? I always make one certain type of a drink, right? We don't have like soda in our house. My wife and I, we just don't really drink soda. So I pull out a pitcher and I put ice and water in the pitcher. And then I'll pour some Crystal Light lemonade packets in the pitcher. And then I'll kind of stir that up. And when you put the Crystal Light lemonade in it and stir it up, you can see that the entire pitcher turns yellow completely. Like lemonade. And then when you drink it, down to the last drop, right down to the last cup, it tastes completely like lemonade. And it's kind of like that, that the Holy Spirit would permeate, would spread through all areas of our lives, and that the pervasive power of the Holy Spirit would be through you, would be just evident to anyone that hangs around you for 30 seconds. And then kind of like the third way, and I really think this is the best way to illustrate what Paul means here, to be filled. Paul isn't talking about a gradual filling, right? But more, he's talking about being made full, right? Completely, lacking nothing, no room really for anything else. That's what Paul is talking about. It's kind of like this pitcher of milk right here. So this pitcher of milk is full, right? So if we put any more milk in this pitcher, what happens? It's going to overflow, right? It's completely full, right? There's no room for anything else. And that's really what Paul is talking about here. He's saying that the Holy Spirit would dominate your life, right? That the Holy Spirit would govern your thoughts, your words, and he would govern your actions. That's what Paul's talking about. Being filled is that you are full or complete to the top. So let's keep going on that for just a minute. Let's say this one over here, this pitcher of water is you and I. I can take this and fill up this pitcher of water to the top. But is that really what Paul's talking about here? What should happen first? Right? We should empty it, right? Because to be full or to be filled by anything means that we must be empty of everything else. And I think that's where a lot of us kind of get stuck at. It's that act of emptying, right? That act of yielding, that act of surrendering, that act of submission, right? Of giving over control over our lives in order to be controlled by, moved by, or filled with the Spirit. And I think for some of us, we want both, right? We want to control certain areas of, we want our comfortable routines, right? We want to be able to control our finances so that we can spend our money any way that we want to. We want our relationships to look a certain way, but we also want to be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't really work that way, right? If being filled with the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit would govern your thoughts, words, and actions, then that means you won't. I think a lot of us want to be filled with the Spirit, but maybe we're afraid of what he's going to ask of us. Instead of spending time on Facebook, he may have you spend time in prayer. Instead of being angry with someone who's hurt you, he may have you forgive them, right? Instead of gossiping or being critical of others, he may have you be disciplined around, you know, how you speak of certain things, or even take the time to go and understand their perspective. Instead of being focused or consumed by your problems and trying to fix those, he may have you be focused or consumed on the blessings that you have in your life and have a time of thanksgiving. Instead of prioritizing something above your relationship with God and then with your family, he may have you adjust your priorities. He contrasted here wine and the Holy Spirit. He said not to be controlled or influenced by wine. And in it, the wine isn't in view, right? Not to be controlled or influenced really by anything, but be controlled or influenced by the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul is saying here. So I think what we see is that to be filled with the Spirit doesn't mean that we need more of the Holy Spirit. It's really speaking of an empowering or an influence or a control. Right? We don't need more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs more of us. So that takes us really to our first point. First couple points in your listening guide, the first part of our prayer that we want to build out today to God for a Spirit-filled life. So if you want to look in your listening guide and follow along with me, it's this. The first part of our prayer would be that, God, I need you. And I confess that I have been directing my own life. And I surrender the control of my life to Lord Jesus. So now that we have a good kind of grasp on what Paul means here to be filled, I want us to see a couple other things really on verse 18 is where we're going to be. A couple other things on verse 18 before we move on to what this looks like in your life kind of practically. When you look at verse 18, if we could put that on our screen here. When you look at verse 18, one of the first things that I want us to notice is that it's not really an encouragement or a suggestion, right? It's a command. It's an instruction. Right? The literal translation for it is to keep being filled, that you and I, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. The second thing I want us to notice about it is it's plural, which means it's not just for you individually as a believer, but for all believers, for all Christians, that we are to be a Spirit-filled church. The next thing I think we see is that it's passive, and that's important, right? That you can't fill yourself. It's something that's done in you, and our role in this is to say, I want less of me and more of you. And the last thing I think we see in verse 18 is that it's present tense, or it's continuous, right? It's a continuous pattern in life. And we said earlier, right, that when you put your faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus, that you receive the Holy Spirit, you're sealed. And that's a one-time thing. But I think what we see is to be filled with the Spirit is a continuous obedience and submission to the Word of God and a continuous leading and guiding by the Holy Spirit. It means it's a daily need, right? It's a daily yield. It's a daily ask by faith in prayer to God the Father to fill me with your Spirit. Because even if you had a Spirit filled yesterday, well, that was yesterday. And that we would go to God every day in the morning and just pray to the Lord and ask Him to fill us with His Spirit today. That takes us to the second part of our prayer. Actually, I'm gonna touch on one other thing. The Spirit isn't a force or a feeling, right? I think we've got to get that. The Spirit isn't a force or a feeling. The Holy Spirit is God. So this isn't some lever that you and I can pull, but it's really an ever-deepening relationship with God the Father through the Spirit. And it may not always be an emotional experience, right? Absolutely, at times, it could be very experiential, but what we see from being filled is this concept or idea of being influenced or controlled by the Spirit. So as you live out your faith, the Holy Spirit would lead and guide you. And nobody can stay full all the time. I think we know that, right? Nobody can keep being full or filled all the time. But wouldn't that be our plea or our prayer, right? Wouldn't that be our desperate desire that God would fill us with His Holy Spirit every day, that we would desire that and go to Him daily in prayer to be filled? Paul has a sequence of commands that leads to 18. I'll go back just a few verses. He starts out by saying not to walk as unwise, but walk as wise. He says, make most use of the time that you have. He says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then the last one, he says, not to be controlled or influenced by wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He ends that series of commands that way. So it takes us to that next part of our prayer there in your listening guide as we build out this prayer to God for Spirit-filled life. And it's this. It's God, fill me with your Holy Spirit as you commanded me to be filled. So what does it look like? What does it look like to be those type of people that just has the Holy Spirit flowing just out of you, right? What does that look like practically in your day-to-day? And that's what Paul addresses in these next few verses, right? He addresses it in your speaking, in your singing, in your giving thanks, and then in your submitting. So when you look at verse 19, if we could put verse 19 up, he says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Right, he's saying that you guys should be singing to each other. That's not what he's saying. Don't do that. That'd get really weird really quick. This isn't High School Musical, right? That's not what he's saying. But think about what he is saying. He's addressing your speaking, right? You're speaking to each other. What are psalms? Right, the book of Psalms, right? It's a book of poetry, right? It's words that express worship and praise to God. Or what are hymns? They're songs that were sung, songs that are sung today, that are words of expression of praise and worship to God, right? He's saying that in your speaking, in your conversations, right? When you're talking to your spouse and you're talking to your kids, you're talking to your neighbors, in your conversations at work, that in your conversations in your group, that in your conversations, that God would be in the center, right? And that you're talking to each other about what God is teaching you, about what God's doing in you, about how God has been so good to you this week, That's how your conversations would look. I mean, think about that, right? If we were talking to each other and to others about what God's teaching and how he's active in your life, that's what a practical, spirit-filled life looks like. Then he finishes out verse 19. If we could put that second part up. It says, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So he goes right back to singing, right? And this time he's talking about singing to God and not necessarily to each other. And I know, you know, sometimes that's difficult or it could even be embarrassing, right? I'm not going to stand up here and bust out in song, right? That's just not going to happen. Some of us just aren't gifted that way. That's why in the congregation on Sunday, we call it joyful noise, right? But God wants your words to rise to him. But he doesn't just want your words to rise to him. He wants your heart to rise to him. He's saying that you and I would carry a melody in our heart, that we would carry a tune in our heart to God, towards God, all throughout the day. I mean, think about it, right? If you're talking to each other, talking to your family, to your workers about what God is doing in your life, if you're singing to God, that's what a practical, spirit-filled life looks like, that we would have such an intimate relationship with God that you would carry a song in your heart. So sing to him. Sing to him in your car. Don't worry about the guy in the car next to you. They can't see you because your window's rolled up, right? That's how that works. And then he goes on in verse 20. He says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are really two key words I want to pull out of that verse. He says, giving thanks always and for everything. That we would wake up and we would just thank God for another day. Right? Thank you, God, that I had a house to wake up in. Thank you, God, that I can go to 12 different places in my house, flip a lever, and I've got water to drink and to take a shower in. Thank you for the food that I get to eat this morning. Thank you for the car that I get to drive to work. Thank you for the job that supports my family. Thank you for this beautiful day that we get to enjoy. Thank you that we get to come together on Sunday and worship so freely because so many across the globe aren't able to do that. That when you get home, thank you, God, that I've got a family waiting on me. And when you go to bed, thank you that I have a bed to sleep on and covers to pull over me at night. That we will be thankful, giving thanks to God all throughout the day for the way he cares for you and the way he takes care of you. And even if you're walking in difficult situations or difficult seasons of life, that you would still be thankful. Because you know God is good, because you know God is sovereign and you trust him. And be thankful that you know that all of life isn't about what's in front of you right here and right now. And the only power to do that is through the Holy Spirit. But that we would be thankful. I know what some of you are thinking. Right, I'm too busy in my day to sing to God all day. Right? Some of you are thinking, I don't have time to be thankful to the Lord all day long. I want to say two things to this. The first thing I want to say is that being spirit-filled means the Spirit is active in your life, and it's not just a time of your day. The second thing I want to say, though, is that if we're honest with each other, I have a series of alarms set on my phone. You don't hear them this morning because I'm up here and we're at church, right? Because that would be really weird. But I have a series of alarms set on my phone throughout the day so that the day doesn't carry me away, so that I don't miss recognizing what God is doing in me, with me, or through me. And there are some days where I don't need those alarms. But there are some days where I just get wrapped up in what I'm doing, and I need that alarm to have me stop and just praise God for who he is and what he's doing. So I use a series of alarms on my phone. Maybe you could too. And then he's not done yet. When you look at verse 21, he says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That in our relationships, we would honor Christ by serving and submitting to one another. That being spirit-filled and despising someone really doesn't work, right? It's incompatible. But that you and I, we would serve and submit to one another in our relationships in harmony. And I don't have time really to jump into this, but I'm going to go off on a tangent really quick because I never want to miss this. When you look at this section, right, this passage about a spirit-filled life, and you look at the very next thing that Paul starts to write on, he starts to talk about marriage. When you look in Colossians 3, right, starts in verse 16, it's a parallel passage. He walks through what it looks like for a spirit-filled life, and then he moves into marriage. I think what Paul is saying here is that for you and I to have a God-centered marriage, we must have a spirit-filled life. That I'm not worshiping God if I'm not serving and loving my wife well. That I'm not worshiping God if I'm not submitting or helping my husband be the man that God wants him to be. That a spirit-filled life includes our relationships. I want to say this. If you want to be a spirit-filled person, right, it doesn't just happen to you. Right? There are some steps that you take. There's some effort really on your part, right? If you want to be the type of person where anybody hangs around for 30 seconds, they're like, man, you're filled with something, right? That gives life to other people and just lives in the fullness of life that God has for you, then you need to do these things. Well, that takes us to the next part of our prayer, the prayer we're building out to God for a spirit-filled life, and it's this. So God, help me to speak of you, to sing to you, and to see all that you've blessed me with today. Kind of the last part as we move towards the end. Earlier, we looked at one specific Greek term that we translate into be filled, but there are eight other places in the New Testament that talk about someone being filled with the Spirit. It's another Greek term, but it has really a similar meaning. And I want to talk about just a few examples of that through the book of Acts, chapters 4, chapter 9, and 13. In chapter 4, it starts in verse 8. What you see is Peter had just got done proclaiming the gospel to those around you, and then he's arrested. Right? So after he's arrested, you see that he's speaking boldly about Jesus to the people that arrest him. And that boldness is described as being filled with the Spirit. And then later on in that chapter, it's around 30, 31, something like that, he's released, right? They threaten him with his life. Don't ever do this. And then he's released. So he gathers some people around and they start to pray to God. And they pray for boldness. And that boldness is described as being filled with the Spirit. And then what you see is immediately they went off and started telling other people about Jesus. And then you see it in chapter 9 with Paul, right after Paul's conversion. It says he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And then three verses later, you see immediately he's in the synagogues telling people about Jesus. And then in 19, you see again his boldness attached, really are described as being filled with the Spirit. Here's what I want to say. Here's my point. That without the Holy Spirit, we have nothing. But with the Holy Spirit, and you've got available to you just a fullness of life that God wants for you. And it's available to you. It's available to you today. But you also have a boldness to be able to tell others about Jesus. It takes us to our last point, really, of our prayer that we want to build out to God for a spirit-filled life, and it's this. If there is someone in my day that needs your word, please use me today. As we finish up, I'm going to go ahead and ask Alex to join me on stage. I want to tell you guys about another story that I was reading not too long ago about D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, he was an evangelist pastor in the late 19th century. So really, it was about this town that had come together, and they were just saying to each other, man, we got to get a preacher to come in and preach a revival, right? We've got to go get somebody to come in and preach a revival. And they were all saying, well, we need to get D.L. Moody, right? We've got to get D.L. Moody. And then this young guy stood up, and he said, why are you guys saying that? Like, we don't need D.L. Moody. It's not like D.L. Moody has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. And then everybody got quiet. And then this wiser older gentleman in the back stood up and he said, you're right, son. He said, D.L. Moody does not have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit does have a monopoly on D.L. Moody. And that's why we need to get him. Church, I want to finish this way. I want to make sure I tell you and that you know, God wants for you a spirit-filled life. And you have everything that you need today. You have the Word of God in front of you, and you have the Spirit of God inside of you. You have everything that you need today. The steps that we take is just to open those doors. Open the door to your heart, to your family, to your job, to your finances, to your home. Open those doors. And you invite the Holy Spirit to come in and control those areas of your life. And then you yield to Him. And you make a commitment just to walk in the influence of the Holy Spirit. And how do we do that? We do it in faith, through prayer. Because God has already given you His Holy Spirit. And He commands you to be filled. And you and I know that God is faithful. So let's do that. If you guys would join me in prayer, let's pray together. Father, it's always a blessing when we're able to come and just sit under your word, Lord, and be taught and be able to do it so freely. There's so many around the world, Father, who aren't able to do this as free as we are. And we're thankful, Father, that you allow us to do that. Let's not take it for granted. Father, let me say this. I know that there are some in the room, Father, who have not experienced a spirit-filled life through you. And Father, I know that there are some in the room that you've been tugging at their hearts. Father, you've been working in their hearts, and the step for them is just to give up. Father, I pray for them today that this will be the day they do. Lord, I want to lead us in a specific prayer to you. I would ask for all of us to join. You don't have to pray out loud. Just pray there in your seats. But we would pray this, that God, I need you. And I confess that I've been directing my own life. I surrender the control of my life to Lord Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as you commanded me to be filled. Help me to speak of you, to sing to you, to see all that you've blessed me with today. And Father, if there's someone in my day that needs your word, please use me today. Father, as we go out about our weeks and that prayer rises to you from our homes, Lord, I pray that you show yet again just how faithful you are. And Father, I pray for all of us here that we be a spirit-filled church. We pray all this in the authority of Lord Jesus' name. Amen.